The Why Me Project, an exclusive presentation of Faith Strong Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages, particularly Canadians and British Commonwealthers, I would personally like to introduce to you one Holly and one Jolly Johnny.
Jolly.
Right here.
We have never had
with me
introduce us.
I know this
with
is
your
special.
with your co-host or your quartet host.
Yes,
Joel Smallburn. I'm so glad you guys joined me today. I have so many questions.
Let's do this. Go, you do it. Don't worry about what we have to say then.
Yeah,
tell me about this film, Unsung Hero. You've seen it.
Yeah. We just know the story because we were like from the distance. We were talking about this before.
Yes. Yeah.
And we were like, oh, well, we were kind of there at this phase and this phase.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I remember YC Alberta. And
what
there
year,
you
though?
Guys are.
What year?
I'm not good with years, Johnny. You're the year person.
You can't. Look, no, I chronologically went through our lives together.
Yeah.
So, like, little does Joel know, him and Luke, we're all best friends, and they don't know it.
Pretty much.
No, I remember that specific dressing room area that we would always go to kind of under the corner of the arena there. It was always very well set up.
Yeah.
And that was like our spot year after year.
It really was. So I remember you guys do interviews and you would sing and then you'd go do sound and light.
Yeah. For Rebecca.
Yeah.
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 But like, so we were pre for King and Country. Then you release an album. Then we were there for post at the very beginning of that. Then we chatted again when you won New Artist of the Year. Then we chatted when you got married. Then I chatted with your wife. I went back and just watched that interview because it was phenomenal. Still, she's probably one of my favorite people in the world. Then we chatted also when your brother had baby, I think, number two and baby number three.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
We've been through every milestone.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, like, I feel like we're almost family, should have been in the film.
You didn't come down.
Weren't invited.
It probably just got lost in the mail, Johnny.
I sent an invitation.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Johnny and I were saying this has only happened three times. We have a standard question we like to ask. Who are you and where did you come from? But that's like your entire movie. And we don't want too many spoiler alerts.
It ruins it.
Yeah. So, Johnny, get started. Let's do this.
How do you want me to start then? Because I mean, we've been through the whole thing and now we're here for the next phase.
Yeah.
And that is the release of your family, like the film of Unsung Hero and the story of all of you guys. Where do you start, Holly?
Let's start at the beginning. Joel, who are you?
Let's
Where did you come from?
At the very beginning.
It's a very good place to start.
I am Joel Smallburn. I am one of seven children. I am from the land down under, Sydney, Australia. I live in Nashville, Tennessee now. I'm in a band with my brother. He and I have spent the last 4 years developing a feature film that circles around it's a 90s film. It's a true story. Circles around a mum, as we say it correctly, a mum and her six kids, 6 months pregnant, 16 suitcases, migrating from Australia to the United States with her husband who'd lost everything. When they arrived, he lost his job and the family has to band together against all odds to rise up out of a place of poverty. No food, no car, no way to get back to Australia, no furniture in the house, sleeping on beds made out of clothes, and they band together. And it's my parents' story.
I mean, you would have come over to the U.S., you were what, nine-ish?
Yeah, shy of 10.
I mean, we moved just across the country, and my daughters were 8 and 6. And they still know, like, this was a TSN turning point in our life. For you being nine, what was that like heading into this new world and literally the rug being pulled out from underneath you?
We had such a really adventurous, like, childlike experience, you know. Because we were very unsafe, like socially, economically, financially, but we felt very safe spiritually and, you know, inside our family dynamic. I will say though, speaking of Americans, when we first moved, when we arrived, it's actually pretty morbid. We arrived in the States, and we were always told, like, hey, be careful. Like, this is America. Like, we have all the American movies. And the American, like, 90s were, like, all the shoot 'em up sort of Western movies and everything,
yeah.
You know. And so when we landed in L.A., and then we got on a night train, and we traveled from, like, San Diego to Tennessee. We actually ran over someone on the train. He passed on. And I remember, I think he was drinking or whatnot. And I remember going, like, this is America. This is a terrifying place.
Not great.
Minus that, we approached it like an adventure. And it was really interesting sort of flipping the script, if you will, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And because I helped co-write it as well, and writing it and then portraying my dad, I saw it from a child looking up, and now from a parent looking down.
Yeah.
I'm roughly his age when he moved. We can get into this in a deeper way, but the whole experience was just trippy. It was very trippy and sort of marvelous, the filming of it.
How do you decide what goes into the film and what doesn't? How do you decide? Because this is a story of your life, but do you go to your parents and say, we're thinking about doing this? Do you go to your brothers and sisters and say, we're thinking about, or were there certain parts where you're like, let's put this in, but we're going to take this out?
Funnily enough, Johnny, we looked at the based on a true story, inspired by a true story. And the screenwriter was literally like, man, this is not based. This is not inspired. This just is a true story. So many of the moments that are in the film, David's 40th birthday, when he finds out he lost a job earlier in the day and walking into this surprise party, like, all that stuff really happened. You know, it wasn't hard to figure out what to keep in. We knew we didn't want it to feel fluffy. Right. We knew we wanted it to feel sort of grounded and honest. You already have the Hallmark Channel. Let them do their thing. We'll kind of make something a bit more sort of visceral and deep. And then when it came to, like, writing it, you know how it is. You sort of shrink the thing down to the smallest version of itself. So it was just Richard Ramsey, the screenwriter, and me, and got it to a place where we felt like, okay, this is right. And then we sort of started taking it to people and getting people's blessing along mm-hmm. the way. Ironically, the hardest thing to navigate in the script writing was not like, did we need to wiggle around some political thing or whatnot? It was actually the fact that there were so many miracles that we experienced when we first moved, that it started to feel like it started to feel a little unrealistic. Yeah. So we actually had to go and, like, pluck out some of these miracles, because it just, like, when a check shows up in the mail in real life that covers your $1,249 bill by $8, you go, this is a miracle. When that happens in a movie, you go, this is unrealistic. That was the biggest challenge.
That's a cool challenge to have. As Johnny and I were talking in preparation for our conversation today, the dad-son dynamic and switch for you was, I think, one of the main areas that we were very interested in, because now we have kids of our own and we're coming at some of the same life situations, but from the parent. And I think walking in the shoes of your dad, how did that change your perspective of your dad?
Massively. Hmm. Ollie, I'm so glad you asked that, because confession, I think I've been very lazy with particularly my dad's story. Now, my mom was just this sort of rock and glue and steady, and, like, who she was in the film and is who she is, you know? Whereas dad is like me. Like, I'm probably out of all the seven siblings, I'm probably the most similar to dad. Like, he's creative and he's emotional and he's energy. And whenever I've looked back on his story, I've just kind of been like, I don't even, like, why, dad, why are you even the way you are? Like, come on.
Yeah.
And this is obviously a very traumatic time for him. And in dropping into his story, both in writing it, changed the way sort of mentally I approached it in my head, and then playing him physically literally changed, like, my heart in going, golly, this is what he was going through. Like, this is what he was feeling. This is what he was dealing with. And the amount of empathy, guys, that I feel for him and for their story on the other side, like, there's literally a stake in the ground in October and November of 2022, like a before and after of how I looked at him and looked at his story. And that was very powerful.
Did you as a family have an opportunity to get together and watch it all?
We did.
What was that?
Yeah, I felt that was it. Yeah. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
Don't Joel, what have you done?
Well, Libby was a little mad.
Yeah, right. I, the key part was, you know, you have to make sure that you look, they're your family, right? But there's no get out of jail free cards. You have to make sure that someone's not going, I can't deal with this going out into the world like this. And so while we were still editing the film, we sat down with him in a small theater. I mean, there's a lot of prayers and a lot of tears and a lot of emotion after, as you would imagine, from particularly from mum, but from a lot. Mum was relieved because when you read a script, you know how it is. When you read just black and white, cold, hard text, it can read a bit cold. And there's so many ways you can interpret the script. I heard someone say once, like they sat in a meeting and they'd all 10 read the same script and all 10 of them saw 10 different films in their mind. Right. And that's what a script is. It's like, it's not, you read it and you interpret it. That's the beauty of our imagination, but we're all interpreting it with our own experience. Mm-hmm. So when she saw the film, she was really relieved that dad didn't feel too harsh or cold because she's protective over him, that there was sort of emotional grounding with him. And she was actually really overwhelmed at Rebecca because she literally went to bed afterwards and she was like, I didn't know. Like, I was so busy focusing on the other kids. I just didn't know what you were going through at the level. And the film kind of brought that to light for mom. So,
yeah.
Very redemptive.
It's interesting, too. The actress that you found to play Rebecca looks like a little Rebecca.
It's trippy. She, because I co-directed as well, I was sort of a big part of, obviously, well, casting the whole thing.
Yeah.
And trying to cast people that you love the most, like trying to cast your mum. I almost drove them mad with mum. And the same thing with Rebecca was like, no, she's like, this is not the way, like, this is not Rebecca. And then Kira Lee Berger, who played Rebecca, and then Daisy Betts, who played mum. They were two miracles in this thing. I think they just embodied them so incredibly well. I'm so thankful. Because that's a make or break moment.
Did Diesel, who played your character, did he do you justice? Or did you pull him aside and be like, hey, buddy, that's not who I am?
I loved actually getting to write his character and then getting to direct him behind the camera and even in scenes with him, because I just wanted him to be really annoying. Like, I just wanted him to sort of be obnoxious, but partly because that's what I was, but also partly because I thought it was sort of frustrating to think of, like, I don't want to create like this sort of nice, cozy version of myself. That just seems silly. I want him to have some like guts and be a little annoyed. And so, yeah, it was sort of fun.
I don't know how this is going to come across, but I'm just going to throw it out at you. Do you think Rebecca's success is the reason why For King and Country has the success that they had? Because 100%. She paved the way. Okay.
100%.
Because I don't want to come question. At it like a jerk. Like, oh, by the way, the only reason why you're is... you because...
Listen, we earned everything that the band wrote and presented. No one came in and said, oh, you're Rebecca and James Brother? We'll sign you to a record. But don't get me wrong, Johnny. We 5 years of getting rejected by every major record label in the United States. And the closer attitude that people had was like, oh, lightning doesn't strike twice. Like, your sister was this. You guys can't do it. Like, that was the closer attitude. We actually had a lot to overcome in being sort of connected. Where we are a legacy band of Rebecca and James, if it weren't for her traveling, if it weren't for doing stage managing, if it weren't for being her road crew, if it weren't for us seeing and experiencing what it's like to be on the road and what it takes to put on a show and what the demands were and all the rest of it, there's just no way. There's no way. So I've said that For King Country is really a legacy band of Rebecca and James.
Well, and I wanted to preface, like, I wanted to give you your guys' accolades, but my whole thing was that you learnt from everything that she went through. So I'm glad that you had stated that. And that way I don't feel as much of a jerk.
A jerk, yeah. It's funny because you guys are the overnight success that took a whole lifetime to create.
Yeah. There it is. There it is. An overnight 30-year success.
Exactly. Exactly. Obviously, we're very excited for everyone to see the film. But the film ends and your life continues. And you as Joel have done some very interesting things. I mean, you're behind the scenes, you're on the stage, you are performing with your brother. And now there's been that shift in your own life into film. And, you know, not every artist makes that transition. Was that natural or was this something by design to dive into the other side of the entertainment world?
It's interesting, Holly. Even before music. Actually, this is we're in our home, and it's where we sit is the property that we would shoot like short films on as kids, and like bad Indiana Jones spin-offs. And Luke was always the first one to get killed off because he couldn't remember his lines, right? But before music, there was movies, and I think movies really indicated our music. I think part of the reason we were so theatrical and why we did the music videos we did with our brother Ben and all the rest of it was because of the fact that we've always seen things through the visual eyes. Same thing with the live show. We've always seen things through, like, how do we create visuals and moments and tie music to a visual? And so there's one part of it that felt very natural. Like, okay, this is just the next evolution of what the band is, you know, doing movies that are tied to music and music that's tied to movies. And then on the other hand, to your point, there's been, I mean, you don't accidentally just go, we're going to make a movie about our family. Like,
yeah.
It's taken 4 years and, well, you know, raising millions of dollars and putting our reputation on the line as creatives to go, we believe in this thing. We stand behind it. And so I'm hopeful that this is the beginning. I really hope, I'm hopeful that this is the start of a new era of for King and Country that is tied to the medium of filmmaking.
You had said something back in 2012, and you probably don't remember what you said to me, but you had said, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it well. And you guys have held true to that all these years later. You continue, whether it's music videos or movies or what you're doing. But as Holly alluded to, you do now film and directing and writing and touring. How do you, I mean, you also have a wife who is in music. Like, how do you find time to be able to do everything? Because there's only one Joel.
That's kind, Johnny. I don't get me wrong. I might be the most visceral one of the bunch, and I might be the one that's out front, but there's a pretty masterful team around us. Not just the family members, but like the road team and the band and the office team, and even with the film, like Lionsgate and Kingdom Story Company and Candy Rock, like just this massive team of really gifted people. There is probably, I don't know if I can say this, but I'll say it anyway. There is a reason why we don't have a family yet. And part of it is we have not felt, we do want to do whatever we do and honor the project and honor God through it and honor those around us through it and honor each other through it. And so Mariah's working on a country Latin project and she co-produced this film as well. And so there's part of it that we have had to make sacrifices and decisions based on not wanting to bite off more than we could actually chew. I will say though, man, I've covered your prayers because this film, like, it's a whole, doing music is one thing. You have, you know, 2 years to release a project and singles and, you know, collaborations and features and all the rest of it. With a movie, it's like this crescendo down to, you know,
opening
a couple
weekend.
Weeks in. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and opening, you know this, Holly, opening weekend dictates everything. And
everything. So,
April 26th is like, I can't see my life past that date almost. So we are in it. And I call and would covet your prayers in it too, because it's this is pushing and pulling on areas in our lives that we haven't had either. This is the first time we've done a film about our parents and our family. So we're navigating it all.
You said as a child, kind of the physical part of your world was a little chaotic. The finances, where are you going to live? But you had the security because in your family and in the spiritual side, there was a firm foundation there. Recalling that phase of life and seeing your dad and how he had to be, his own rock, how your mom was a rock in her incredible way. How did that change your perspective of God?
It built my perspective on God. You're so young at that point that you get sort of thrown into this world and you go, oh, that's God. And then I think to your point, so I think it built it as a child. And then in making the film, I think it also reoriented certain areas of the goodness of God and the grace of God in struggle and hardship that I didn't anticipate. There's a great quote from Hollywood Reporter in there when they announced the film. They said, turning struggle into adventure. And I hope, you know, not only as family members, but I actually hope as believers and people that are trying to stay close to the heart of God, that that could be our slogan. We're safe, right? We're good. We're safe in this idea of that we're infinitely loved, that there is life beyond this one. and that we're sort of these untouchables in a sense. And so, and I, this man, I'm preaching to myself on this one, but this film has shown me more than ever that, like, gosh, you just, this is an adventure with, as the film says, as Josh's character said, like, with perils and pitfalls and pirates and struggle and joy and sorrow and loss. And that's what I think that's actually what Jesus was getting at when he's like, I came to bring life and I came to bring it to the full. It's like, it wasn't to be this cozy cookie cutter sort of put you in a box, kind of limit your worldview or your life view or your God view. It was for you, for your brain to explode and go, this is what it means to be human. Mm-hmm. Like, it should be the greatest way to be human, you know?
Because life is full of ups and downs and pits and valleys, but then also the mountaintops. And so this is the Why Me Project podcast. And so we like to ask all of our guests that question about why me? And has there been a moment, now that you've had a whole season of reflection on your life and your relationship with God, where maybe in that moment you thought, why me? But now you can think, oh, why me?
Amazing how much intonation changes everything, right? Because yes. There's that like, why me? And it's like, oh man, why? You're right. Why me?
Yeah.
I have done both and I do both and probably will continue to. You know, when I feel like I'm backed into a corner having a bit of a pity party, it's like, why me? You know, why am I in the middle of this?
Yeah.
And then there are these profound moments. And I feel like this film is one of them that's like, my goodness, why me? And at risk of trying to answer God's, or, you know, put words in God's mouth, I think the why me is like all of the things that don't have to do with me. God going, Holly, John, you're going to be born into this era. And into this country. And I'm going to introduce you to these people. And these are going to be your parents. And this is going to be your family life. And this is going to be your role. And for me, like, I'm going to introduce this wonderful woman, Mariah. And you're going to be right in the middle, perfectly symmetry, jammed in symmetry between six siblings, you know, bookend girls and five boys in the middle, and you're right in the middle of it. And I think that turns the like fist in the air, why me, into the like, oh my goodness, how like there's so many things that I had nothing to do with here. I don't know how you, God, or why you put me and us in this position.
At Unsung Hero Movie on the socials, unsunghero.movie if you want to jump online. First weekend is always the biggest weekend. We want to make sure that everybody goes and sees it. We're going to do something different. You have the final word. Is there anything left that we didn't say, we didn't talk about, we didn't ask, or maybe specific things that, you know, apologies that you didn't invite us to, whatever it was.
The wedding.
We'll leave that to you.
Okay. I will say it's great to be with you. It's really great to see your dynamic. You have a great balance between you, even physically separated. There's just a really good dynamic of you guys kind of sharing the load. I will say about the film, I'll bookend what I said at the beginning. Hey, this is an adventure. This is a true story. This is a story that celebrates moms and celebrates family and celebrates overcoming difficulty and banding together. It's a story that celebrates the 90s.
Yes.
And 90s clothes and 90s music, you know, Seal and Jesus Jones and Rod Stewart and Lenny Kravitz, Amy Grant, Margot Stryper. Like, no matter what position of life I feel like you're coming from, that there's things that are, I feel like are really not only life applicable, but are really inspiring. And so we've dubbed April 26th Family Day, when the theatrical release begins, because you got Mother's Day, you got Father's Day. We need a great family day. And I just encourage you. We want to, like we said, we want to get more involved in this medium. We're still trying to find our footing. So if you believe in these things and if you think you're going to be inspired, man, grab a family member and a friend on the weekend of the 26th and come out to the theaters with us. Let's put the 90s back on the map. Let's put family back on the map a little bit.
Yes.
It was September of 2018, we had your brother on this show. 6 years later, we got you. Hopefully in 6 years, we'll get your wife. Brother, we appreciate you taking some time and hanging out with us today.
The feeling is mutual, Johnny. I'm blowing a kiss from Tennessee.
That was everything that I ever thought it would be. and so much more.
Well, it was so great just hearing from him now in a new season of life, doing more on the film side, still very much involved with music, but it's just really cool to remember back in the day, YC Alberta, and, you know, being at, I was going to say the Commonwealth, but that's not right. The Coliseum? What was it called now? It was like Skyreach. It was
Skyreach and Rexall. And
all those
Rogers,
things. Yeah. You know, and like the bottom of it and just having conversations with him and Luke. And then starting to hear the idea of diving more into film. And now he's doing it. Yeah. And it's, I don't know, it's really cool to have been in the peripheral and watch the trajectory happen and just to see the impact that they're having.
But what I love is that you get, and this is the reason why we did this show.
Yeah.
You get 5 minutes with an artist, or you get 15 if you're at a special event. This you get, we get a half an hour with him,
yeah.
But you get to see a film of everything that led up to where we are now, which is super cool. And it's not very often that we get a glimpse into someone's life like we do with the Small Bones.
Exactly. And just to hear a little like a rags to riches, well, riches kind of story. And like, I don't know. I love it. Cause often it's not in correlation with faith.
Yeah.
But this is all because of God.
Yeah. No, it's good. And we encourage you first weekend.
Yeah.
Tell your friends, tell your family members, tell complete strangers, buy tickets for people if you have to, and get out and show your support on films like this.
And also with podcasts like this.
Yeah,
like thank this. You.
Please, please, we're not begging. We're just begging. Make sure you download Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It actually has been really great to see some of the messages that we receive. Mm-hmm. People who are super nice to us.
Yeah.
Saying nice things like, you guys are great. Like, oh, mom, you're silly. But if there is an artist or a guest that you've had a chance to listen to or somebody that we need to talk to, make sure you do let us know.
Yeah, we do this for you. We thank you for being a part of the journey. So whether you're following us on Instagram, Facebook, yeah. Twitter, YouTube, we so, so appreciate your support and your prayers. And don't forget, you can always check it out more on faithstrongtoday.com.